Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss and Nick here. Before we get into the usual bullshit that we have to deal with the New York Football Giants, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Ethan GSN. Weiss is at NYG Daily. Nick is at Nick Zoraris. The blog's at Gotham SN. Subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. All right, here we go. Another blown lead. Team's in absolute shambles. Third overall picks not showing up to meetings. Neither are six overall picks, but we'll get into that later. Normally, I ask you guys how you're doing. I don't give a shit. I'm pissed off. I didn't even want to have to record this podcast today. This team is an absolute nightmare. They give me absolutely nothing to look forward to. To be quite honest, this past weekend when the game was on, you know, my wife typically likes to give me my time, my space. Let me just watch the game and enjoy. I had my three-year-old crawling all over me. Didn't even care. Distract me. Let's do puzzles. Let's read princess books. I don't give a shit because we all knew what the outcome of this game was going to be. Jameis Winston could be quarterback. John Elway could be quarterback. It doesn't matter. They're going to blow the lead. And here we are. There is absolutely zero accountability top to bottom from the organization. Pre-game, you have Jay Glazer releasing a list of potential head coaching candidates, which is maybe the most putrid list of coaching candidates I think you could possibly assemble. Like, you would actively have to try to say, okay, who is the number one option that would piss off people the most? Great, put them on the list. Now, who's number two? And just go down the list. So you have some people reporting a list of quote-unquote experienced head coaches, a bunch of retreads who've never accomplished anything. You have some people out there now claiming that they're only going to look for experienced head coaches. You have other people now reporting that, no, they're actually going to look at some college head coaches, which means that there are now multiple people high up in the organization leaking different things. So you have to assume that there's some internal strife going on, given John Mara's health. GM Joe Shane hanging on by a thread, no true head coach at the moment, a defensive coordinator who his just mere existence pisses me off. This guy gives off Steve Carell energy from the first half of Crazy Stupid Love before the Ryan Gosling makeover. He's giving divorced dad, doesn't give a shit, and he's just there. He exists. That's like the nicest thing that you could say about Shane Bowen. He exists. He is not better than the gap. I think that's actually what we should start calling him. Shane Bowen, comma, who is not better than the gap. This guy, zero accountability. No one cares. I'm just yelling at this point because I'm so pissed off. You have the Dan Duggan report from this morning coming out that Abdul Carter, his discipline, by the way, was missing one series. He missed a walkthrough because he was asleep in the facility. He claims he wasn't, but I think we all know the truth and who's reporting the truth. And his name is Dan Duggan because the man doesn't lie and he's on top of it. And he's probably the best Giants beat reporter that we have. So Dan Duggan's reporting that he's fallen asleep in meetings. And by the way, a few weeks ago, I had someone tell me that the same thing occurs with Malik Nabers. But because he's actually productive, Brian Daboll just lets him do whatever the fuck he wants, and there's no discipline, so you don't hear about it. So if Malik Nabers is doing it and Abdul Carter's doing it, you have to assume that this is just rampant, rampant lack of accountability throughout the organization, from the players to the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator to the head coach to the general manager. You just have to assume that, and we've seen it throughout the course of the entire season with the Hard Knocks clip of Joe Shane trying to distance himself from the Jackson Dart pick, to trying to battle and figure out who's going to be the actual starting quarterback and depth chart orders and who's going to be cut and who's not going to be cut. Evan Neal and Jalin Hyatt just taking up roster spots because certain people don't want to admit that they're wrong and trying exclusively to survive this season on self-preservation. It is an absolute nightmare. It's a catastrophe. There's no accountability. I don't want to say that I've never felt as bleak about the Giants' future as I do right now, but quite frankly, it's hard to believe otherwise. And so here we are. There is absolutely nothing to look forward to for the rest of the season. And there should be, because even though you have your franchise quarterback, a wide receiver one, a legit running back, you've got two great tackles, like the foundational pieces are there. Somehow, some way, this team still finds itself with two wins, projected to pick number two overall in the NFL draft. And you just know that they're going to fuck up the coaching search. They're going to fuck up the GM search. And none of the fact that some of these foundational pieces are here is not going to matter.
The Nick? Sludge is infectious. This is not something that is just isolated, because even if people don't take advantage of the lack of discipline, the lack of accountability, they know they can get away with it. And that type of culture creates a room where everybody is constantly pushing the envelope of what they can get away with. And that's what makes the environment the way it is. It's not just that they lack talent at certain key positions. It's that the guys they do have aren't being coached up. They aren't being given good habits. They aren't being disciplined properly. And it's not incumbent upon the other guys. That's the thing. Would it be nice if there was veteran leadership in the room who could take some ownership and say, no, we're not doing that? Or a quality player on this team stepping up, whoever you have in mind when I say that, offense or defense. Would it be nice if there was a veteran leader on this team to pull these young guys under their wing and say, no, this is the way we're going to do it? No, because nobody cares. Ultimately, if you cared that much, somebody would have taken ownership. But being that the players all know that it was falling on the coach no matter what, there's no impetus to try and do extra work in what's a lost season. And that's really what stuck out to me about the game yesterday. It hasn't gotten 2017 Rams game bad. They haven't been 50-burgered at home yet. They were in that game. Hell, if Jalin Hyatt runs to the corner, they very well might win that game yesterday, even though they didn't play particularly well. But because there's no accountability, because there's no ownership, none of these guys feel empowered or like they're a part of this. And it's something Ethan said the week they beat the Eagles, that no matter how bad the team was, it felt like Dart and Scadabo were enough to say, no, that's the old Giants. We're not doing it that way anymore. And you see how quickly that goes away when only one or two guys are your culture setters, your inflection points. When they're not out there, when they're not able to play, that makes a real difference. And we've been talking about it for the better part of the last two seasons. There aren't really a lot of leaders on this team. There isn't a culture. There isn't an identity. It's a lot of leaders. Guys. It is a lot of guys running around trying, not particularly well in the case of a lot of them. And because there's talent, according to the owner, the general manager gets to stay. Now, whether or not you believe there's talent on this roster, I definitely don't think that's a great explanation as to why Joe Shane should get to stay. But there is enough here that they should have won at least one of these five games where they've blown a fourth quarter lead. I'm not saying all of them, and I'm not saying if, you know, they win two or three, even if they're in the mix right now, I wouldn't say I would feel particularly good about this team. But the matter of the fact is, nobody shows up in these big spots on either side of the ball, and it is just infuriating. I mean, Ethan, before you got in here, Weiss was like, you got to take your emotions out of it. Well, if it's not for my emotions, why am I watching? It's not good football. It's not good scheme. There's nothing enjoyable about watching the Giants.
Emotional sport. You're supposed to be emotional. And Weiss, before you go, Nick, just one other thing. I wanted to bring it up, and I forgot in my just ramblings to start the podcast. You brought it up too. There is no player leadership and accountability on this fucking roster. You look at what happened with Keon Coleman and Deion Dawkins' comments I don't know if it was before or after the Bills game, after the game when he got benched and he's like, it's time to grow up. Like, at some point you've got to grow up. And then you look at the comments that Dexter Lawrence, the alleged leader of this defense, has to say about Abdul Carter. And he's basically like, well, I don't know what to tell you. So this is just, there is no culture of accountability from top to bottom. And it matters. It does. Because if you're a team like the Giants and you're going to be picking in the top 10 virtually every single year until you figure this shit out, you have guys like Dart, like Scadabo, who come in here and immediately on the field, you can see like, okay, these guys are culture changers. Like, these kind of guys matters. They change the tone of the game. But when you have guys like Abdul Carter and Malik Nabers, who just are able to do whatever the fuck they want just because they're supposed to be talented guys, that sets a bad precedent across the organization for everyone. It sets a bad precedent for other young players and players coming in here. Like, if you're Dexter Lawrence, you've been here your entire career. You're not getting any younger, pal. You want these young kids coming in here doing whatever the fuck they want and just no accountability, not developing, not going to walkthroughs. No, you want them to step up. You got a C on your chest. Okay. And then when the defensive coordinator, who's basically known since the start of the season that he's getting fired, well, he doesn't care. He's not going to fix it, but you're going to leave him employed anyway? That makes no sense. You got Brian Daboll, who's fighting for his job, so therefore he's not going to be too hard on his players because he needs the most talented players out there. That's a problem. And you think the GM doesn't know about this? You think Tim McDonald doesn't know about this? They know about this. They just don't care. It's a problem.
And I wanted to jump in off of that because I can vividly remember during one of the McAdoo seasons, there was a Sunday, a Monday, where Francesa came on and went on like a 10-minute rant about this.
As he does.
Because the Giants never have talented players, every now and then when they get the Odell Beckham, they get the Malik Nabers, they don't know how to act. They did the same thing with Jeremy Shockey, where they kind of let them beat to their own drum. They kind of get special treatment, preferential treatment. And you can't have that. On a team, you cannot have preferential treatment, no matter how good a player is, no matter how talented they are. That creates resentment. That creates a real frustrating energy amongst the guys on the team, where if Carter and Nabers get special treatment and I don't, why am I going to go out there and bust my ass? If these guys aren't being held accountable, what does that say about everyone else? If I
maybe
go
one
out
day,
there,
or maybe one day Jackson Dart shows up to the facility and goes, I don't want to do the walkthrough today.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why you can't let this stand. That is why and as much as I think culture is overplayed in football, you're seeing the extreme end of the spectrum right now with the Giants. The matter of the fact is this team has no identity, no culture. It has a bunch of individuals, and there are some very talented people on this football team, but the culture is so bad that the guys on the margins, the depth, don't feel empowered. They don't feel important. Like you said before, Ethan, the defensive coordinator has no incentive to fix this because he knows he's getting shit canned the second the season's over. Hell, he might get fired at the bye week. So why is he going to put in extra work? If the DC is not going to put in extra work, why is Deontay Banks going to put in extra work? If my boss doesn't, why would I? And that you've got an entire team of that, of guys who pass the buck off to the next guy. And not my problem. And it's the entire team. The entire team has it's not my problem as their mindset. And nothing ever gets fixed. If anything, things only get worse.
As long as we've gone without letting YC a word.
He's wanted to turn it over.
No, you guys are saying everything you guys are saying is correct, man. I think you hit on everything. Listen, you don't go 5-23 in the last 28 games because one cornerback can't turn around or one player misses a walkthrough. This is a culmination of things that just keep building up, and you know, you throw out words like leadership and culture. I mean, these things aren't something that you can just go to the store and buy. These things are developed. And the fact of the matter is they just don't have people in the locker room that can develop it. You know, you talk about Dexter Lawrence, one of the guys that's been here for so long, but like, how many winning teams has he been on since he's been with the Giants? None. So he doesn't even know what winning looks like, you know, one winning season. So like, great player. I'm sure he's trying to, you know, be a leader and be vocal and lead by example. But listen, you can't fake leadership. You can't just artificially build a culture by just, you know, drafting players that are super talented out of college. It's something that comes naturally, and it's just something that this organization is missing top to bottom, you know, coaching, general, you know, front office, ownership. It's just a constant lack of accountability. But this is what the Joe Shane, Brian Daboll era, you know, is. Like, it's just the era of lack of accountability, of finger pointing, of blaming somebody else, of blaming Wink Martindale and blaming Daniel Jones and blaming this and blaming that and blaming injuries. It's always been somebody else's fault why the team, you know, is 5-23 since the start of 2024, and they're 11-20-41. Like, these are the reasons why, like you guys just named. And you know, when you have a number 3 overall pick that you draft going into a game against a guy that he looked up to in Micah Parsons, you would think that that player would have some extra motivation that week. Coming into a week where your head coach was just fired, you would have like that extra pep in your step to kind of like go out there and be like, at least like, I'm not the reason the coaches got fired. But again, that's the culture in the locker room, where it's like nobody's really holding anyone accountable. Everybody's just simply just, in a sense, kind of, you know, show up, do your job, and then if we win, we win. If not, we not, we go home. And it's the same comments, you know, in the press conferences. Like, listen, Brian Burns, great player, but he doesn't know what winning looks like. In Carolina, he didn't win a lot either. In fact, he went through three different in-season coaching firings, so he doesn't really know what winning is about, you know? And so, again, it all goes back to three things, right? How is your front office and your coaching staff and their leadership and your ownership, how are they running the organization? What is going on in your locker room? And the one common denominator is, A, they don't seem to have any accountability for anyone in that building. And two, they lack good players. I mean, Green Bay, you know, they're a good team, but they're not, you know, they're going through their issues. But the Giants just didn't have enough good players yesterday, and that shows. And there's nothing more I can add unless you want me to repeat some of the stuff you guys said. But everything you guys said is true. This is a broken franchise. We've thought throughout the last couple of years that maybe they're starting to dig themselves out of it, but it's clear, you know, I don't think another top five pick is going to fix this. You know, I don't think another, you know, a draft class is going to fix this. It's just not good enough. Look, I came into this year with the expectation as a fan of, like, I want to see results. It's no longer about process. It's no longer about, you know, well, you know, we're headed in the right direction. Look at the players we just drafted. It wasn't about that. It wasn't supposed to be, you know, Jackson Dart saved people's job. It was supposed to be, we've built this talent. We've drafted these players. We've signed these free agents. You know, we're going to win games. And we're setting ourselves up to dump a young quarterback in there in 2026. It was supposed to be about, as crazy as it sounds, but this is what they told us. You know, Russell Wilson was supposed to win games, right? Daniel Jones couldn't do it, so Russell Wilson is going to do it. But, you know, 2-10, 2-9, excuse me, going to be 2-10. A lot of question marks in terms of the organization. I don't know who's running it. I don't know. I really don't know. We can talk about coaching searches. At this point, I take a lot of the reporting on candidates, and no disrespect to whoever's reporting it, but I take it all with a bunch of grain of salt, to be honest with you, because I don't know who's going to be fucking running the team come January and February. So if I don't know who's going to be running the team January and February, then I can't sit here and, you know, take into account who's going to be getting interviewed and who's not. I'm sure all the names that are being floated out there are going to eventually get an interview, but until we figure out who's running this team and how this team is being structured, and it'll be nice if the ownership comes out and addresses the fan base, but it's a lot of confusion, a lot of, you know, guys being put into situations where they have to answer questions that they simply can't answer. I mean, the fact that Mike Kafka, in his first week as the interim head coach of the Giants, had to hold the number three pick of this franchise accountable because he was, what, sleeping in the facility and missing walkthroughs. Like, that just speaks to the issues with this organization. And I think that's just a small example of the much larger problem that this organization has. And listen, kudos to Mike Kafka for trying to hold anybody accountable. But again, it's tough when you're an interim head coach, you know. So defensive coordinator, why? I mean, I don't even think Shane Bowen wants to be here anymore. The players, they didn't buy into a system the moment that he came here. They certainly don't buy into it now. So I think at this point, for most of the locker room, it is a run out the clock challenge. But it's tough to win, man, when you're operating like this as a franchise. No matter how excited you want to get over, oh, you know, this pick or that pick or whatever, it's can't win like the way they're operating like that. And the results show it on the field and off the field.
So you had said something, Weiss, that I think really sets up a good question. And you had said there are conflicting reports as to who is out there, which leads you to believe that there are multiple factions kind of leaking out in various theories. So question number one, do you think that is strategic and intentionally trying to be a smokescreen? No. Or B, no. Do you think that's a power struggle that is trying to be leveraged right now And if there is, you think, a power struggle being leveraged, who do you think are the factions trying to emerge and fill in this power vacuum?
So I'm not going to like speculate who I like. It's the common names that you hear every day. But what I think is going on here is I think John Mara's health is at the forefront of all this.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's going to be. Can I just say how pissed off I am about it already? Because we know like they're going to leverage that in some fucking way to justify their decision. You already know they're going to say, oh, you know, we didn't want to put John through, you know, all this turmoil about who's going to run the organization when he's battling cancer. So we just went with this guy.
No, I think it's more so like, I think it's more of like contingency. Like, okay, if John Mara can't make that decision, we need to put somebody in there that can make that decision. Like, that's why in the immediate aftermath of...
This is like Succession. This is football Succession.
In the aftermath of the statement that the ownership put out after they fired Brian Daboll about how Joe Shane was going to lead the search. And again, I preface this to people. It's like, you can believe who you want to believe. I sort of put more weight in certain people more than others. But when Ian O'Connor, who we talked to a couple years back, remember
yeah.
Ethan, he's somebody yep. that's very close to ownership. And when he came out with that statement about like, hey, nothing is set in stone here, that makes me think there's a lot of moving parts within ownership.
Agreed.
With the way they're running the Giants organization. And that's why I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Like at the end of the year, who's going to stand up at the podium and say what? So, it's a $10 billion, you know, Fortune 500 company. There's multiple family members that are part of ownership.
Can the Cokes just buy them the fuck out already? Like,
well, that's the thing. Could there be people in the
broke bullshit?
No. It's not about broke. It's like, could there be people in the ownership that's like, you know, hey, like I want my check and I want to get out of here. You know, like I had a good
run. But they are like, broke relative to NFL standards.
So it could be a situation like that. I don't know. My whole thing is there's a lot of uncertainty with I believe there's a lot of uncertainty with
ownership. I agree with you.
And
it's very unsettling.
That's why this head coaching stuff really doesn't move me as much. I'm not going to be like, yes, they like this guy, or no, they like that guy. I think it's a lot bigger than the head coach. It's a lot bigger than, you know, who they want to interview, what they want to interview. They can say whatever they want, but I think we'll learn more in January.
Unfortunately,
so everybody's just running out the clock till January is what you're telling me.
No, I think Mike Kafka's really trying to show that he can be a head coach. I do. I think he's put in a tough spot. I mean,
oh, this is an impossible situation. Yeah, impossible.
I
mean,
like I just said,
you and I Weiss went back and forth on this. He's auditioning for another job.
Yeah, he wants to be he wants to stay in the league. He does an okay job here. He at least gets to be a quarterback's coach somewhere.
I think he's just trying to show he can be a head coach. And I think
I agree with you, but yeah, I don't not for this organization.
The first thing you got to do to be a head coach, I think, above everything the X's and O's is, you got to show that you're willing to hold everyone accountable,
Shane Bowen still the defensive coordinator?
I believe, and this is an informed opinion, I believe it's he's still trying to learn about defensive players. He's still trying to build that relationship, which is crazy to say, but he doesn't have as strong of a relationship with the defensive players. And I think another part of it is because they don't think that there's somebody else in that building that can call plays. That's crazy as it sounds, which I don't think is a legitimate excuse, but that's just what
you got Kurt Benerk off Twitter. He can save us all the tweets and he can call the plays.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how hard, and it's not like Shane Bowen's calling some exotic plays, you know. At this point, just ask Madden, right?
Yeah, it can't be that hard. I mean,
I think by the bye week, I'll be honest with you guys, I think this Rams game this Lions game, and you can see where I'm going with this, it is setting up to be that Rams game-esque where I think you got an angry, pissed off Detroit Lion team with Jared Goff getting to play indoors and not wear two pairs of fucking gloves like it's 10 degrees outside when it was like 50 degrees in Philadelphia yesterday. And I just think they're going to throw that ball around. They're going to run that football.
Oh, Gibbs is going to go for 200 yards from scrimmage next
week. Minimum.
Yeah, I think that's a 200-yard rushing performance by the Lions written all over it. That's a pissed-off Lion team. So I guess that could be it. They might. I'm just circle the bye week is all I'm going to say. If any coaching staff changes are going to happen, I'm sure Kafka wants to do it and eventually is going to do it. It's just a matter of time. But like I said, man, it's so much bigger than who the defensive coordinator is at this point. You know, they got guys on defense that just Carl Banks said something. So it was great. And I never looked at it from that perspective. Right. You know, there's some guy, like you see effort issues like that are glaring. Like we see with Deontay Banks, like that dude's just not giving effort. Right. But then there's guys that give effort, but they just want to do their job, which is like the bare minimum. Right. But who's that guy that's like gonna, you know, take that extra step forward? And the Giants don't have that. They don't have that. Dex had a great game, but he's been disappointing. Brian Burns, I guess, is the one guy that's playing his heart out, dropping into coverage, doing all that thing, doing rushing the passer. I think, what was he, 13 sacks now on the season? You know, Abdul Carter's going through his growing pains, which, you know, I thought Abdul's rookie season up until the last like 2 weeks was very, very impressive. I think he had what, like 4 sacks called off because of penalties. And I think his numbers would have looked better if those sacks didn't get called off. But the last 2 weeks, I don't know. It's just seems like, you know, rookies hit this wall or this weird point in their season where things start to get a little bit difficult for them. But inexcusable for you to walk into the building and say you want to wear number 56, but then you know,
hey man, 56 was sleeping in those meetings back in the day.
Yeah, but not when he was a rookie, man. I know that running joke on Twitter, but 56 wasn't sleeping in meetings when he was a rookie. So disappointing all around. Just, you know, Nick, I told you to take the emotions out of it, because it's you'll drive yourself crazy, I'm telling you.
I mean, if it's not for emotions, what else do I got here? I mean, is Dart gonna play this week? Is there a point to Dart playing this week? Do we know where he's at in the protocol? Should he be playing on this team? Like, there,
I would sit him one more game.
Yeah. Do we know where he's at in the protocol? Have the Giants said if he's gonna? Gotcha.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he was at the game, so I guess that's a positive thing, right? He's on the sideline.
Yeah.
I guess that means he's sort of like in the final stage, right?
Is that how long? Well, Malik was concussed and he was at a fucking concert, so.
He was at Travis Scott, yeah.
Who cares?
The best way to deal with concussions is go to a Travis Scott concert, right?
That's what I always say.
I'm just not a doctor ordered. Can we talk about Jameis real quick?
Sure. He did his job.
He did. That's what a backup quarterback's supposed to do, right? You gave you the lead with 7 minutes to go. I mean, would you sign up for that with a backup quarterback playing against the Green Bay Packers?
Look, it's not pretty. It's not like teach tape, but they were in that game.
Yeah.
They were.
This is why I'll never, ever believe that Joe Shane wasn't responsible for so many of these roster decisions. Like, there's no way that everyone on the staff went through preseason, went through training camp, and was just like, yeah, Russ is better than Jameis. There's just no way. There is literally no way. That was not a Dable decision. You cannot convince me that it was.
Well, Russ did have a good – I'll say this about Russ. He did have a good training camp. Like, he looked good in camp. Now, doesn't mean shit because he came out week one and was absolutely horrible. But, yeah, listen, you signed Jameis for – you know, 2 years, $8 million. You plan off of him fulfilling that contract. So that means you're giving him $8 million. You gave Russ $10 million for 1 year. I mean, why not have an open competition? It was pretty obvious, you know, by the second or third preseason game that Daboll wanted to go with Jackson Dart. But I guess because they, you know, the Russ thing, they didn't want to, you know, do that to Russ. But yeah, once you made Jackson Dart the starter, like, it was like, what's the point of having Russ the backup, right? It should be Jackson Dart. So.
Yeah.
Jalen Hyatt, I mean, I think
Riddance. Goodbye.
Kappa wanted to give him an opportunity with, you know, Jameis Winston, who's a gunslinger who does like to throw the ball a lot down the field. I just don't know, man, how you can stop on the router. I don't even know what he did. Like, he just ran and then slowed down. It just inexcusable, man. Just I think Tiki summed it up the best when he said he's a receiver that doesn't want the ball, that runs routes like he doesn't want the ball. I mean, it's just like how in the world in that time frame? And here's the thing, like people are like, why are you throwing to Jalen Hyatt? Because that's the whole point. You're trying to see what this fucking guy can do. You're 2-8. He's a third round pick, right? You're like, make a fucking play. Give him an opportunity to make a play, and he just stops running. I mean, God, gotta be kidding me with that. Gotta be kidding me with that.
I mean, the Cowboys guy in that video was right about him.
He was too nice to him. He was too nice to him.
He was too nice to him.
I mean, he just stopped running.
He literally stopped his route.
It's like when your controller dies in Madden. It's like the player just stops.
I got nothing nice to say about him.
They gave him an opportunity. It was like, this is it. Jameis Winston.
Like, I'm out of words. Like, I'm out of words. It's fucking November 17th right now. We should be talking about this team. I'm sick of this. I want.
Well, that's
we had a couple weeks where we were happy. That's it.
I'm seeing it with this fan base where, like, they're falling into that narrative changing propaganda machine that's happening. We started this season. This is year four. The plan was Russ starts. Jameis is the backup. We develop Jackson Dart. Red shirt year. The same people, cough from the New York Post, that are writing things about why Jackson Dart deserves, or why Joe Shane deserves to keep his job because Jackson Dart. Well, that same reporter back in August was telling you how this roster is good enough and that Jackson Dart gets to redshirt the year. Okay? And it was supposed to be about results. It was supposed to be about Russ winning games, the Giants playing competitive football because all these players they drafted on defense, their defense was supposed to be top 10, and this was going to be the year. Like, we're going to play competitive football, right? And the season was over when? Like, by Halloween again? Like, so a lot of this narrative shifting thing, I'm seeing it starting to wear off onto the fan base again. I got people telling me, well, we got some good pieces. Like, the same, you know, the same thing. Like, 2 years ago, Ethan and Nick made those responses about how we got some good young players, and those young players would include like Jalen Hyatt, and they, when they would make their list, they got Deontay Banks having a great rookie year. We got Jalen Hyatt. You know, they drafted JMS. Like, look at, you know, it's happening again. And I want people to understand one thing. Go back a year ago, and look at the reason of which people were saying why we need to keep Joe Shane. And they would list players and look at that list of players and then look at today, where those players are today. This season was not supposed to be, well, look at our 2025 draft class. This season was supposed to be about the moves made in 2022, 2023, and 2024. And that has not been the case. So I don't want to hear why Jackson Dart is the reason why Joe Shane should keep his job. I don't want to hear why, well, you know, the injuries are the reason. Paulson Adebo got hurt. You know who the next man up is? Deontay Banks, a first-round pick. Okay? So, like, again, this season was not supposed to be about what progress you can make. It was not about a young nucleus, you know, that they put in that statement. It was supposed to be about the results, the results, the results, the results. And when you're constantly losing, you constantly are not performing, and your seasons are constantly 4-5-1 seasons. This is what they try to sell you on, is they try to sell you on this fake bullshit progress of like, we have these people to build around. And yeah, they got Jackson Dart, but you know what? Just like they ruined every other great fucking player that came through this door, they'll somehow ruin this kid too if you continue to allow incompetent people to run your organization.
That list Jay Glazer gave on the Fox pregame made me want to kill myself. I'm just going to be honest with you. If I hear the words Arthur Smith in regards to
the we should light ourselves on fire in front of John Mara and change the what trajectory of the rest of his life.
Developed, by the way. What quarterback did Arthur – I was thinking about this.
He was okay with Tannehill 5 years ago. That's all he's got on his resume.
6 years ago, he was good with Ryan Tannehill. Okay.
Yes, that's all Arthur Smith has on his resume as a head, as and, offense. And
who was his quarterbacks in Atlanta?
Ritter and Desmond Ridder is one, and then they had a veteran. I want to say
it was like Taylor Heinicke, I think, was
there. Heinicke too. Was in there at one point for sure. Heinicke was one. Kirk was last year. He wasn't the coach.
It was then, Mariota, so. Too.
He Ridder, Heinicke. Yeah, Ridder, Heinicke in 23, and then in 22, it was Mariota and Ridder. He's doing a job with Rodgers right now.
He had 1 year with Matt Ryan, too.
Yeah, he had, I think, the last year of Matt Ryan in Atlanta, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
he did. I
don't know what he developed, what quarterback he developed. So let's what was the other names that you guys heard? I didn't really get to watch the clip.
Matt Nagy, I will kill myself. I'm not even joking.
We're not going to hire the guy that actually helped Patrick Mahomes, or Patrick Mahomes says helped him a lot, and Mike Kafka. But we're going to hire Matt Nagy, who could possibly be the reason why the Chiefs' offense has been, you know, really, really bad the last couple – not really bad, but
– not as high-powered.
Yes, the last couple of years.
Yeah. Bob Sala, I'm good. Robert Sala? No interest in Bob Sala.
Don't think that
you could do worse.
Yeah, you could do worse, but I don't think New York's good for him anymore.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Spags, I think 5 years ago this would have been a conversation. I think he's too old.
Love Steve Spagnuolo. I think he deserves to go in the Ring of Honor one day. But why are we going backwards again?
Yeah, I think he's too old to be getting a second crack. You know, 5 years ago, we could have had a conversation, but he's like 60, and he has two seasons as an NFL head coach.
And the Giants passed up on him how many times?
At least two or three. I'm good on Zach Taylor if he gets fired. I'm good on Vance Joseph. I'm good on Cliff Kingsbury. Wait.
You don't like Vance Joseph?
I think based on the way the 1 year went and the fact that he's got access to incredible talent in Denver makes me a little skeptical. Their defense is great. Don't get me wrong. Denver does a really good job. They beat Kansas City yesterday, but I am very reticent to do the retread of the defensive head coach. I think the defensive head
Vance Joseph or Robert Saleh, pick one.
I would probably lean Saleh just because he has better connections. Like I think if Mike LaFleur, got a real quarterback that first year with the Jets, we might be having a different conversation. The Jets might not have fallen off a cliff. They might not have needed to go out to get Aaron Rodgers. I think his adjacentness to the Shanahan tree makes him a bit more enticing, whereas I don't know who Vance Joseph could bring with him, but I would lean Saleh there. Lou Anarumo, they interviewed him a couple years ago. The Bengals defense is an atrocity, and I know he's not there anymore, but the Colts are doing an okay job, but I really struggle to sell of a defense first head coach right now in this environment where we're at league wide. I just do. Like and this is going to sound very hypocritical for me. As much as I hate Mike McCarthy, I think they could do a lot worse than Mike McCarthy. I think they could do a lot worse than Mike McCarthy. I don't want him, but in comparison to some of these, Ethan, you're telling me
Kill myself in front of you.
What about like who's your top choice? Because I have a top choice right now.
I like Jesse Minter. I like Kubiak.
Me too. I don't know much about Clint Kubiak. I want somebody to explain to me what he's different from than, like, I don't know, Brian Daboll 4 years ago, Mike Kafka right now.
Because the offense he comes from, that Shanahan tree. Yeah, okay. That's the thing. All of those guys have gotten passable offensive results in other places they've gone. I know Darnold wasn't great yesterday, but I am inclined to trust that scheme because it is so prevalent across the league as far as being good. And then all the guys who might get fired at the end of the year, and I would throw Brian Flores in there too. I would be open to a Brian Flores conversation.
What about, and this, I know Jake, this was the name popped up in Jay Glazer's thing, but I sort of mentioned him before that, but Rams defensive coordinator, Chris Shula.
Sure. I don't have any strong opinion on him. I don't know enough about him to really.
They have two first round picks on their Rams defense right now. Yeah. Jared Verse and Forbes, the bust from Washington that they traded there. Yeah. He's doing a lot. with not a heavy investment in that defense.
And he's McVay adjacent, so he could probably pull someone with him, which helps the case. Yeah. Like Jeff Hafley, you could talk me into the Boston College thing. The
New Jersey thing. I like Jeff Hafley. I do like Jeff Hafley a lot.
And the Green Bay defense is pretty good. You could talk me into that, but he's got to bring someone good with him to be the OC. That's the problem.
Kevin Stefanski.
If he gets fired, I would entertain it. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Kevin Stefanski gets fired. That's your guy. That's
him, the one, right? Harbaugh for sure. Tomlin for sure.
One thing about
no thanks to Tomlin.
I don't know about Tomlin. There's a lot of questions about him. I would take him. He's certainly at the top of my list, but there are some concerns about Tomlin's ability to coach these days. Some of his in-game decision making, I'm good, but Tomlin, I think,
still. Like, if you want to just perpetually go.
Leadership-wise, nine and eight or ten and seven,
and then losing the first round while also having an unwatchable offense. Then yeah, fine. Let's bring in Mike Tomlin.
I mean, look, I'm not the biggest defender of Tomlin.
Is it better than what we got now? Yeah, I get it. But
since Ben, they haven't had a real quarterback. Rodgers has a good game.
But he's part of the problem, though. Like he's the kind of coach that, like, you know, he has say. If he identifies a quarterback or tells the GM, "Hey, go get me that guy," they're going to listen to him. So like that falls on him too.
And then I wanted to ask you about, because
we just watched Jeff Hafley, the Packer defensive coordinator.
Doesn't really excite me, but okay.
You could talk me into it. I wouldn't be excited. There are very few guys who would genuinely excite me. Minter would, Kubiak
Jesse
would.
Minter excites me a lot. Jesse Minter excites me a lot.
Same. Yeah.
I think that.
I want somebody who I could see being here for 5 to 10 years. I don't want one of these guys who's, you know, late 50s, mid to mid 60s, where we're talking 3 or 4 years. And then even if they do well, they need an interim replacement. And I know that's, you know,
and I like Mike McCarthy too. Like I would take McCarthy over Luan Arumos, D Spagnuolo, and like Matt
Nagy. He's the best bad choice.
But the thing about Mike McCarthy is that what is my ceiling with Mike McCarthy?
11 wins.
And then what? Losing the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, shit. Weiss, I hate to be like sound poverty here, but I'd sign up to go 36-12 over the next 3 years, win a playoff game, and just not be a joke. Then we can entertain.
I need my head coach to be the face of my organization, to be the CEO of the football operations, and to be somebody that's going to bring leadership, also understand modern day football, understand X's and O's, be able to hire good coordinators. Look at Dan Campbell. I think he's shown he's able to do that. I know he pulled the play calling away from Johnny Morton, but he can call play. Like, give me a face of this organization. When I tell you, when I mention the Detroit Lions, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
Physical.
Dan Campbell. Physical.
Physical.
Stems from Dan Campbell. When I mention, you know, some of these other teams, I want the first thing that comes to mind is the head coach. So, but first things first, we need to get through the season and figure out who's running the Giants, because that's
going to be the last thing I wanted to ask, and we can wrap on this. Do you think Shane staying disqualifies any of the guys we're talking about now as far as being candidates? Like, is there a certain type of coach you could see not wanting to take the job if Shane stays?
Only John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, guys that have won, you know, have a track record of winning, that will be like, hey, I need say. But other than that, none of these coordinators, they might favor other jobs because their buddies get GM jobs over there. But no, I don't think so.
Okay.
All right, let's wrap it up. That's it. We'll talk to you guys in a week. Follow us on Twitter. Ethan GSN.
We'll see what other wild
NYG Daily. What?
We'll see what other wild list comes out next week.
I don't follow Nick and Nick Zeraris, the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. We'll talk to you guys next week.